This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
You know, from a consumer standpoint, you want to get on and you want to have everything that's amazing on the internet work at optimum efficiency.
The rural divide is real and it needs addressing now.
Is there a simple solution to the net neutrality debate?
That illustrates the very problem is from administration to administration, you have the back and forth of each administration's will or philosophy or belief, and that allows for no stability in the market.
When it comes to innovations in technology, we travel to South Florida.
South Florida now is number one in startup activity in the United States. There's a lot to go into that, but I think at the end of the day, those are because of the entrepreneurs, the people that will build their companies here and stay here.
All that and more coming up on episode 114 of The Rotunda. There has been a lot of chatter about net neutrality.
Hello there, Internet.
The issue has gone viral thanks in part to HBO's John Oliver, who has been causing quite a stir, getting people to weigh in on the issue, breaking the internet, if you will, or at least the Federal Communications Commission's comment section.
It is true. The FCC site did get a ton of comments. The number is now up to around 1.6 million. And those comments have come from all quarters of the political spectrum, from net neutrality advocates to those who want the FCC to roll back oversight of ISPs.
Some of those comments were directed at the new head of the FCC.
Hi, I'm Ajit Pai. I'm the chairman of the FCC. I really enjoy the public debate about the future of the internet, and I especially appreciate some of your tweets.
Thankfully, the chairman has a good sense of humor and decided to read aloud some of those mean tweets on net neutrality.
Ajit Pai reminds me of Pinocchio, except instead of his nose growing when he lies, his head starts bubbling.
Let's back up a bit. What is net neutrality and what's fueling this intense debate?
So the debate is funny because net neutrality is definitely kind of the lead bullet in the conversation, but it's actually composed of two very different parts.
Brad Swanson is a subject matter expert as the
president and CEO of the FCTA, which is the Florida Cable and Telecommunications Association.
So what are these two different parts?
One dialogue is on kind of people's right to go anywhere and use the internet and have the tools on the internet operate at peak efficiency. And then the other part is about how the internet is regulated.
So there is two main information highways in this debate, and we're going to try to keep on course and not veer off too much. So Brad, give us a little background before we drive ahead.
The number one bullet on the history of this is when the internet was invented, it was a dial-up. But what the framers of the internet regulatory model saw was that this is amazing. This is going to be an amazing new sector of everyone's life, of the economy for sure. And so they set up a framework that encouraged amazing innovation to happen while still protecting the consumer's experience. And that framework has built out the fastest network on the planet so that you can have the same speeds in Silicon Valley as in New York City as you can in Orlando, Florida. And I mean, that is the beauty of how America did it. You still see huge challenges in the European markets, for example, because what they did was what we've just done. But they did it originally back in the 90s is they started with a utility style regulatory model, which they're still, I wouldn't say they're in the Stone Ages, but they are having extreme challenges getting up to the global speeds that we enjoy every day over here in America.
The framers laid the groundwork to the innovations we enjoy today on the World Wide Web, from logging on to check the weather, watch the news, and to check in with friends and family via social media.
So what net neutrality really is, you know, from a consumer standpoint, you want to get on and you want to have everything that's amazing on the internet work at optimum efficiency. And so this is everything from your browser to your social network to when you download movies, you want them to come down fast so that there's no glitches and you can enjoy that rich streaming content, or you can talk with mom and dad on the other side of the world. I mean, it's really about bringing the world to you and the consumer out to the world.
Here in America, we get our internet access through one main provider, from the telecom and cable giants like Comcast, Time Warner, Verizon, and others. Then you have the folks that work within that framework or use that highway to give us what we enjoy, like Google, Facebook, Netflix, Instagram, and so on. Every major stakeholder in this debate, including internet providers, say they support enforceable net neutrality principles of transparency and no blocking or unfair discrimination of traffic on the internet. The real concern is with current federal regulation, which FCC Chairman Ajit Pai hopes to change. Here's what he had to say on PBS.
Well, I favor a free and open internet, as I think most consumers do. My concern is with the particular regulations that the FCC adopted 2 years ago. They are what is called Title II regulations, developed in the 1930s to regulate the Ma Bell telephone monopoly. And my concern is that by imposing those heavy-handed economic regulations on internet service providers, big and small, we could end up disincentivizing companies from wanting to build out internet access to a lot of parts of the country, low-income urban and rural areas, for example. And that, I think, is something that nobody would benefit from.
Proponents of the chain say investment in broadband networks is down by 5% over the last 2 years.
The rural divide is real, and it needs addressing now.
Julio Fuentes is president and CEO of the Florida State Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
This is not only just a business issue, it's also an issue for the community at large. And that's why the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and some of our colleagues have been addressing this and making it an important issue.
Fuentes says 40% of rural Americans lack access to high-speed broadband.
Well, our low-income neighborhoods, these low-income areas that we have throughout our state and, again, throughout our country, these are the neighborhoods that are having the biggest negative impact in access to the faster high-speed internet that you and I enjoy. And then in turn, obviously, in these neighborhoods, not only in their homes, you have plenty of small businesses that could be that much more effective with a higher-speed internet. You have the schools as well, the schools not having proper access. We know that education, obviously, has changed, and children today learn off their iPads. Those days of carrying a textbook around are way behind us, or almost way behind us. It's affecting negatively all these sectors that I mentioned.
Brad Swanson and his association stand in support of the FCC chairman. However, he wants to see a permanent fix to this ongoing debate.
Well, I would give the new chairman a huge hug, because this chairman is absolutely pro-consumer and pro-innovation. Now, but that illustrates the very problem is from administration to administration, you have the back and forth of each administration's will or philosophy or belief. And that allows for no stability in the market, because it's at the will of who's ever in control of the FCC or the FTC at the time. That's why the industries, by and large, are asking for the stability of legislation. And that's really what we're asking for here, is a change in the law so that the marketplace can have stability and predictability to gauge their investments and everything that bankers and insurance people and everybody that's involved with making that connection to your home happen with investments and digging in the ground and the people on the front line. I mean, those are big decisions that take a stable environment. And if you don't know what it's going to be like every 4 years, that's a big challenge. And I'll make this case to you. So think about your purchase of your cell phone, right? So you buy that, but you cringe every time because you know in 6 months that same manufacturer is going to come out with another phone that's cheaper and better. So add $1 billion onto what you spend on your cell phone, and that's what the industry has to do every year when it comes to expanding and innovating. So the investments are huge to keep pace with the growth and the demand. And frankly, a law allows for everybody that's involved with this to make longer term decisions on deployment, which further encourages those innovations and growth.
Hopefully we've given a nice overview of where things are in the net neutrality debate. But I wanted to drive it home, so I asked Brad, why should we care?
Well, the reason you should care is because that next innovation that completely blows your mind as a business owner, right? So you communicate through a social marketing space, right? And that is where your opportunity, and this is just, we're going to use it for you, it is a space that it's accessible for communications pros, but it's also accessible to Sarah's coffee shop. she now has that same access through the internet. And it's that Title I regulation that continues to grow that next innovation that's going to take Tramell Gomes into being the next, you know, giant news outlet, because you have unlimited potential with these innovations that keep coming along.
What about others besides me?
Yes, everyone should care. I mean, if you're that single parent trying to raise a kid who, when they come home, they need connectivity, it's those very network companies that are supplying technology and connectivity at a reduced rate. They can only do that when they can reach the actual market space that can connect that person to the internet. That doesn't happen in a heavy regulatory model where, you know, connections aren't gratis, if you will. They're hampered. And so really, the new regulations are unnecessary because the old ones, frankly, protected consumers.
Both Swanson and Fuentes agree legislation is the only way to take this issue beyond politics and the agency flip-flopping that happens with each new administration to address the issue and make a permanent fix. Swanson says studies show failing to repeal utility regulation could depress broadband investment in the U.S. by as much as over $40 billion a year. This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes. Be sure to visit rotundapodcast.com. That's our website where you can stream this program at any time. If you're tech savvy and have the latest smartphones, feel free to subscribe via iTunes or any third-party podcast app like Stitcher. Follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast. And support this program by visiting our website, the upper right-hand corner, and click Donate. And as always, thanks for your support. So for this next segment, I'm keeping the conversation on technology by spotlighting some of the innovative work in the tech industry happening right here in Florida, specifically West Palm Beach.
So in the tech world in Palm Beach, you know, I always say there's a lot of history in Palm Beach. This is where the first personal computer developed here in Boca Raton. The fastest airplane in the world, the SR-71 Blackbird, was developed here in Palm Beach Gardens. And, you know, to this day, we have really cool ideas popping up. Modernizing Medicine, for example, electronic medical records company, has raised $231 million on top of the other funding they've received. They employ 600 people here.
That's Joe Russo, the executive director of the Palm Beach Tech Association.
Palm Beach Tech is a nonprofit trade association for tech companies in Palm Beach County. So we have members from Jupiter to Boca Raton doing things from writing software, developing websites, building products. And we also have a co-working space here in downtown West Palm Beach, which is where we base our operations from.
Russo is actually very familiar with the Tallahassee political scene. He used to live in the capital city.
My story actually starts in Tallahassee. I came up there in 2012 to work with a fellow named Francisco Gonzalez, who also has a podcast of his own, I believe. Mm-hmm. And while I was at JMI, when I was working around some of the smartest people in the state, and I mean absolutely brilliant people, I started getting interested in ideas of technology and building websites and things of that nature. And at the time, Brett Cutchin had developed Contribution Link, which is a data software tool for political campaigns to use in fundraising. You know, I had ideas of my own, and I was trying to research them. Came back to Palm Beach County ultimately and was trying to figure it out. To my chagrin, there was not much resources. There was not a lot of convalescing of these ideas. They would come together maybe here and there. There's nothing consistent. There were no spaces like Adomi Station in Tallahassee, for example. We weren't doing well of bringing together the next generation. That 21st century economy, Tramell, it means so much to our future and the state's future as well. So I kind of took it upon myself, well, somebody's got to do something at some point. So I convened dozens of people who are all CEOs or executives or technology professionals and said, hey, we should do something about this. You know, all of our companies are here. We're doing good, but we can do better. We can do better as professionals, as executives. We can do better as an industry. And to the credit of some of the work we've done, a lot of work Miami's done, South Florida now is number one in startup activity in the United States. You know, there's a lot to go into that, but I think at the end of the day, those are because of the entrepreneurs, the people that will build their companies here and stay here. You're not going to stop somebody from building a company. Regardless if Palm Beach Tech is around or not, they're going to start it. But we can certainly be there to help, grow it. And with myself and many other people around the state of Florida who are also doing similar things, from holding meetups to having co-working space, we developed a group called Launch Florida, which is, you can find it on launchflorida.org. And it's a coalition of all these different groups. Because believe me, you know, when I first saw the numbers, Tramiel, the 19th largest economy in the world, third largest state in the union by population, you would think Florida has some of the best innovators in the country. Well, we do, but we actually rank 34th out of 50 states in innovation, according to the Bloomberg Innovation Index. Venture capital, we are far lagging behind. We do not have the ability to scale as many other companies in other areas do. And this is a problem for the future of our economy. When we talk about economic development, we have to understand that technology companies are scaling. They're scaling fast. And the more of these companies we can bring to Florida, the more the future of our economy will be stable, will be sustainable, and will be prosperous for all. So that's what my mentality is for Palm Beach Tech. That's what my mentality is for Launch Florida. That's what my mentality is for the Sunshine State. And hopefully, we all working together, we can build a better, brighter Florida.
So, Joe, I just finished talking with folks in the telecom industry about proposed changes with net neutrality. What's your take on the topic, since you're in the tech space?
Well, anybody who uses the internet needs to have an interest in it. The problem is many people do not understand what exactly net neutrality is. They don't understand it because there's a lot of misunderstanding of how one gets the internet. Now, traditionally, it's a major company like a Comcast or an AT&T, which are prominent in Florida. You call them, they run the line, and you know, you have internet, you have TV. There are plenty of other ways to get internet, and there are a lot of different sources. And VPNs, virtual private networks, are another means that you can get internet access. But on the one hand of a company, let's say a startup, if a startup that is trying to work its way into homes and be a consumer service, they need to gain access to the internet portals of Comcast and AT&T. But let's say a larger company wants to come and shut them out. You're going to have a situation where people can pay, and this is all theoretical, people can pay for the higher bandwidth, the higher service. So where I have a facility here where I can limit people's internet access, let's say I only want you to get 5 megabytes a second, and you have a video streaming service, you will not be able to really use that. So as far as virtual private networks and net neutrality go, and everything that's going on in Congress to this day, I feel like there's a lot of education going on right now of people trying to tell others, this is what this means, this is what it does. The internet should be owned by everyone for any purpose. But there is obviously the business side of that is kind of at play here. So to kind of answer your point of, you know, how do people really react about this? Part of it is misunderstanding. And the other part is, I would say, a level of discontent with Washington, as is typical, I think, in the ups and downs of politics these days.
Well, Joe Russo, it's so great to catch up with you and hear all about the great things you're doing at Palm Beach Tech. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tramiel, and I wish you the best in continuing my favorite podcast to listen to every morning.
Special thanks to Joe Russo with Palm Beach Tech and Brad Swanson with the Florida Cable Telecommunications Association.
If you're not listening to Tramiel Gomes' show, you are missing out. So tune in for every broadcast from here on out.
Really appreciate the plug, Brad. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. But most importantly, be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramiel Gomes.